not based on division, not based on hatred, not based on fear, but it's based on hope. We can't send $100 billion overseas every year and expect to solve the problems here at home. Don't believe that we can't do something about the challenges that we face.
Our nation is in trouble, in desperate need of a change. We need a new vision, someone to take a stand. There are many choices, there is one that has a plan. Barack Obama, he's a man.
If you're looking for a better day,
a better day,
change is on the way.
Have a change coming, come on and join us.
It's gonna be a brighter day,
brighter.
Praise his name. Praise his name. Change is on the way. Praise him. Praise his name. Barack. Change. This administration. Join us all. Praise his name. Praise his name. Barack. Hussein Obama. You're looking for a better way. You're looking for a better day. Barack Hussein Obama. It's May 19th, 2011. Washington, D.C. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Barack Obama has done it again, folks. Praise his name. Barack has abandoned Israel, thrown them under the bus. The first president to do so in modern times. Since the creation of Israel, Barack Obama, every president has stood by Israel, steadfast and resolute until now. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Barack Obama has abandoned Israel. It took him long enough. Praise his name. All right. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. For those of you on a budget and who isn't, 877-666-9305. We have a caller already. What's up with that? Area code 317, you're on the air with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Hey, what's going on? It's Steve from Indianapolis.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
All right, yeah, I watched that speech. She was talking about Israel, and I think that's a biblical. I think he's going to achieve something biblically there, going against Israel, wanting a separate state for the Palestinians. There may be some rubber stamps right there. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? That's exactly what I want to talk about tonight. Biblical prophecy and Barack Obama. It seems, you know, more and more, and I've been talking about this for the last year or so on Blog Talk Radio and everywhere else. It seems as though biblical prophecy is playing out with alarming accuracy. Barack Obama has done something that no other president has done since the creation of Israel, since the state first settled. He's done something no other president has done. He has thrown Israel under the bus. He has abandoned Israel pretty much for the most part, and it's amazing. Now, he said a few things in his speech to sort of balance it out just a little bit, but even Barack Obama has to understand that by taking Israel back to 67, to the pre-settlement days, is going to leave Israel without a defense for that portion of Israel that would be left if they were to give that settlement back. He would have to know that. And if he does know that, then that means that he has sentenced Israel to its destruction. Why would that be? Can you tell me, Steve? Do you know?
Well, man, I don't know if these leaders are intentionally trying to fulfill the Bible, if they're just doing it by coincidence. But, I mean, Israel, they are extreme towards the Palestinians, there's no doubt about it. Same time, there's that balance there because they're outnumbered. The Muslims outnumber them. They really have no choice but to be extreme.
They are surrounded, they're surrounded on all sides by nations that hate them, all of them. And what I said is no exaggeration. Nations that hate them and want to see them destroyed. And the only thing that's stopping them from being annihilated is, one, they have nuclear weapons, they have nuclear capability, and two, the United States of America is their strict and staunchest ally. Without that ally, they are stripped of their ace in the hole. And what Barack Obama has done is he has answered his critics. He has answered those of us who believe that he has more allegiance to the Muslim faith, that he has more allegiance to the Arab way of thinking than he does to the American way of thinking and most of the European free world. I cannot help but come to the conclusion that biblical prophecy is playing out at an alarming rate. It is frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of Obama's speech, and then if you'd like to comment on it, go ahead. Anybody else if you have a comment about what went on today, please do call in 347-884-8500, 877-666, oddly enough. I didn't have anything to do with that. 9305. I'm going to play the clip right now.
Israelis and Arabs has cast a shadow over the region. For Israelis, it has meant living with the fear that their children could be blown up on a bus or by rockets fired at their homes, as well as the pain of knowing that other children in the region are taught to hate them. For Palestinians, it has meant suffering the humiliation of occupation and never living in a nation of their own. Moreover, this conflict has come with a larger cost to the Middle East, as it impedes partnerships that could bring greater security and prosperity and empowerment to ordinary people. For over 2 years, my administration has worked with the parties and the international community to end this conflict, building on decades of work by previous administrations. Yet expectations have gone unmet. Israeli settlement activity continues. Palestinians have walked away from talks. The world looks at a conflict that has grinded on and on and on and sees nothing but stalemate. Indeed, there are those who argue that with all the change and uncertainty in the region, it is simply not possible to move forward now. I disagree. At a time when the people of the Middle East and North Africa are casting off the burdens of the past, the drive for a lasting peace that ends the conflict and resolves all claims is more urgent than ever. That's certainly true for the two parties involved. For the Palestinians, efforts to delegitimize Israel will end in failure. Symbolic actions to isolate Israel at the United Nations in September won't create an independent state. Palestinian leaders will not achieve peace or prosperity if Hamas insists on a path of terror and rejection. And Palestinians will never realize their independence by denying the right of Israel to exist. As for Israel, our friendship is rooted deeply in a shared history and shared values. Our commitment to Israel's security is unshakable. And we will stand...
All right, let's stop it right there. Barack Obama just said that the United States' commitment to Israel's security is unshakable, and yet, by his proposal of giving back the settlement that was a part of the conflict in 67, all analysts, all Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, conservative, liberal, doesn't matter, all agree that Israel will be extremely vulnerable. This president, his arrogance knows no bounds. He proposes that by giving back land to the Palestinians will result in peace in the Middle East for all time. That's all that needs to be done. That's supposed to be a starting point. Now, Israel says that we've bent over backwards many times and given and given and given and given and given some more. And the Palestinians, their response is to take more and more and demand more and more and more and more from us. They don't want to be our friends. They don't want a settlement. They don't want peace. They want the destruction of Israel. And it doesn't matter what you give them. And unless you give them your lives and your very souls and the lives and souls of your children, the Israeli children, women, children, men, everybody, unless they're all dead, the Palestinians and the Arab world will not be satisfied. So is Barack Obama a moron? Or is he simply engineering the destruction of Israel and bringing about biblical prophecy all in one fell swoop? Anything, Steve?
Oh, man. This is unbelievable almost. It fulfills a lot, man. It really... Once I tell my family about this, there's going to be some really shaken up people, man. Because Obama is really, you know, he's really a national security risk, you know. He really is a national security risk. You ever read that book, of Hell?
Yes.
Remember that part in the book towards the back where she was talking about the flag of the United States being torn? And people had the mark of the beast on their foreheads, and they were sleeping in government bunkers, and pretty much the military was all over America, and it was like a totalitarian government. Remember that part?
Yeah, I do recall that part.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like, man.
Well, that's what it's
looking like.
It's looking like that. It's looking like biblical prophecy is playing out, that Armageddon is just around the corner. We're seeing all sorts of signs. Earthquakes, fish dying in the seas, birds falling out of the sky, bad weather in places where there hadn't been bad weather, hurricanes, tsunamis, places where there were no tornadoes seen for over 100 years, tornadoes are forming. Now, there'll be liberals who will say that, well, this is all a part of global warming. It's a global warming issue. It's not a biblical prophecy issue. But when you put all this stuff together, the only conclusion that the only logical conclusion is biblical prophecy is being played out. Barack Obama is is simply helping that along as either a willing participant or a stooge. Either way, it just it boggles the mind. Every single day I watch the news, I see more and more evidence that we are living in the last days and time. I just don't
I'm with you, because see, you know that RFID chip that everybody got YouTube mm-hmm. videos all over the place about?
Yeah.
See, that works off the cell phone towers. Do you know that almost has cell phone towers now?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible talks about the mark of the beast and how it's going to spread all over the world.
Yeah.
That if you don't accept the mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. Now, see, Obama could be the false prophet. We don't know if he's either the beast or the false prophet or one of his little minions. But I've always believed that this government's been taken over by foreign banks. I think the same Europeans and British that we fought against during the Revolutionary War back in 1776 are the same offshore banks that are destroying, that, you know, that's working with the politicians to destroy America. That's what I believe. But I think he is fulfilling prophecy, and I believe Barack Obama is very dangerous.
Well, you know, one thing one should be careful about, you know, posting the label or signing the label of Antichrist on any individual political leader right now, because frankly, that's been done so many times. I'm looking at a YouTube video that I'm going to play in just a couple of minutes of Adolf Hitler. And, of course, during his time, he was described as the Antichrist. And
yeah, but see, they didn't have the technology back then. See, nowadays, we've got chips to go in people's brains. We have cell phone towers covering almost half the earth. See, the technology wasn't around. The Bible talks about the beast being able to see inside every home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, back then, we didn't have that technology.
No, we didn't have the technology. But one of the things that is similar to what's going on today was when Hitler, before Hitler came to power, Germany was in total despair. Citizens were without food, without water, without the basic necessities of life after World War I. They were stripped of their power as a nation, their dignity, and the whole nation, the whole German nation, completely went into chaos. And out of that chaos sprang false prophets, men who were claiming to be the Messiah, men who were claiming to be sent from God, And these false prophets were touting that we're living in the last days. We're living in end times, and that scenario's played out at least one other time, other than what occurred with Adolf Hitler. And we can see the similarities here, where America is pretty much broke, and American citizens are in a bad mood right now. Most of Americans believe that politically, financially, we're headed in the wrong direction. There are polls out for days that indicate just that. There's nothing indicating the otherwise. All of the polls indicate that Americans believe that this government, that our nation, is headed in the wrong direction. So there are parallels with what happened in Germany just before Hitler, and what is happening now with Barack Obama. All of a sudden, a charismatic leader springs up and starts talking about hope and change, and that's exactly what Hitler talked about, hope and change, only in a different language. And he brought hope, and he brought change, but it didn't end up being the kind of hope and change that they were bargaining for. And we're right now in the same boat. What we're experiencing right now is a disaster, and I don't understand why there are people out there who still believe that this guy is some sort of Messiah, that he is the chosen one.
Well, The thing about it is, it's easy to deceive people in America. There's so much brainwashing going on in the media. You know, it's easy to deceive people. But do you remember the wrestling group, the New World Order, with Hulk Hogan and them on WCW? You remember that?
Yeah, briefly. I stopped following them after he left the WWF.
Yeah. Back in 1996, around the same year, they came out with the RFID chip that's implantable. Was the sign the same time that wrestling group came out, NWO. Ain't that scary?
Yeah, it is. Well, let's go ahead and play this clip right now, and then I'll get your opinion, and if there are other callers on the line, we'll get their opinion as well. The call-in number is 347-884-8500.
French intellectual Denis Derogement once described his experience at a Nazi rally in 1938. Derogement indicated that despite his rigorous attempt to remain detached from the spectacle unfolding before him, he was involuntarily drawn into the vortex of the crowd's hysterical adulation of Adolf Hitler. It was only by dint of a kind of superhuman resolve, said the French philosopher, that he was able to regain his equilibrium before the mesmerizing presence of Hitler's evil genius.
Bloß die einzige Macht und alleinige Macht in Deutschland.
Reportedly, Derogement said of Hitler that some people believe, from having experienced in his presence a feeling of horror and an impression of supernatural power, that he is the seat of thrones, dominions, and powers, by which St. Paul meant those hierarchical spirits which can descend into any ordinary mortal and occupy him like a garrison. What I am saying would be the cheapest form of romantic nonsense were it not that what has been established by this man, or rather through him, is a reality that is one of the wonders of the century.
Oh my goodness! I am not here to tell you what to think. I am here to ask you to think. Seriously. I want you to think seriously about a man who knows who we are, and he knows who we can be, with our many colors and religions and languages.
He knows.
Many colors,
he knows who we are.
But one government.
How does he know?
I can tell you, Iowa, he is the one.
He is the one. That's how he knows.
He is the one. Barack Obama!
He is the one.
Berlin, where Germans and Americans learned to work together and trust each other less than 3 years after facing each other on the field of battle. Look at Berlin, where the determination of a people met the generosity of the Marshall Plan and created a German miracle, where a victory over tyranny gave rise to NATO, the greatest alliance ever formed to defend our common security. Look at Berlin, where the bullet holes in the buildings and the somber stones and pillars near the Brandenburg Gate insist that we never forget our common humanity. People of the world, look at Berlin, where a wall came down, a continent came together, and history proved that there is no challenge too great for a world that stands as one. 20th century taught us that we share a common destiny. The 21st century has revealed a world more intertwined than any time in human history.
Yes, we can.
In this new world, such dangerous currents have swept along faster than our efforts to contain them. And that is why we cannot afford to be divided. Every child, every boy, and every girl should have the ability to go to school. To ensure that our nation does its part to meet this goal, we need to establish a $2 billion global education fund.
$2 billion.
We live in a time
for global
where our
education.
Destinies are shared. The world is more intertwined than at any time in human history. Walls that divided old enemies have come down. Markets have opened up.
One
the
world
of
government.
Information and technology has reduced
one world
barriers to
order.
Opportunity and prosperity and opened doors to new competition and risk. There's a lesson that cuts across this economic crisis. Prosperity cannot be sustained if it shuts people out. Growth cannot just come from the top down. It must come from the bottom up, with new jobs that pay good wages and new innovation that creates opportunity across the globe. Across the globe. Across the globe.
Across the globe. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan.
You are the instruments that God is going to use to bring about universal change. And that is why Barack has captured the youth. And he has involved young people in a political process that they didn't care anything about. That's a sign. When the Messiah speaks, the youth will hear. And the Messiah is absolutely speaking.
The Messiah is speaking. Is that right, Steve? Is that right, AC? Is that right, Tesla? Is that right, Gary? Is that right, Bob US MC? Is the Messiah speaking? Did the Messiah speak today when he stabbed Israel in the back?
Whew, man, you know. Oh, man. I was hoping all this stuff would happen after I'm dead in the grave and in dirt, you know. But, man, I know about these things, you know, the devil and out there. And, yeah, I think it's pretty much a done deal. I do remember in that book, Mary Kay Baxter, the Hell Book, she was talking about how, remember, the wealth was going to spread around the world and be more peace and prosperity than ever before. And then destruction, you remember that part?
Yeah, I do.
So this is what it is. Wealth redistribution of wealth. That's Obama all day long. He lines up with that perfectly.
Not only that, but there's this eerie adulation for this man, Barack Obama. It's as if there are actually people out there who don't believe that he is just a man. No. Let me go ahead and throw this out there. Melinda Hinnenberg from Politics Daily said that in the wake of the tragedy that occurred in Arizona, where a congresswoman was shot and several others were killed, she said, "This was when our country needs to heal. This is the weekend our country needs to heal. Obama was born for this very moment." She went on to say, "This is the moment he was born for. He has campaigned on and talked all along about the need to take the toxicity out of the discourse about how we have to be able to talk to each other without questioning one another's motives." So I think this could really be Obama's moment when he can really do as he proposes on bringing people together. Now, when has Obama brought anybody together except his lunatic base that helped him get elected? When has he brought anybody together? And are we not supposed to question him? I wonder if Ms. Hinnenberg is saying that Hindenburger is saying that, well, we should listen to Obama and not question his motives.
I keep hearing that, man, from my grandparents and everybody. That guy, man, I don't care what anybody says. He is flesh and blood. He is not no Terminator. He is not no cyborg. He is a man. Okay? And he is not that's why I don't think there's going to be another election. Seriously. I don't think there's going to be another election.
If he's just a man, why is it that a Danish newspaper wrote upon Obama's election that Obama is, of course, greater than Jesus? Why did if that's the case, Steve, why did Lawrence Carter, whom I have no idea who he is, he said no one saw him coming. And Christians believe God comes at us from strange angles and places we don't expect, like Jesus being born in a manger. Why is that? If he's just a man.
You know, they're devil worshipers, probably. There's a lot of devil worshipers in government mm-hmm. and positions of high power and places. There's a lot of devil worshipers, and maybe Obama's just one of those top guys that the devil worshipers love, you know. And like I believe Hillary Clinton, a lot of people voodoo. I know you heard about Obama with the voodoo pictures and the voodoo dolls and stuff. Maybe he's one of those devil worshipers, man.
But Steve,
you know,
hold on now. Yeah. Steve, Barack Obama himself said that this was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. He said that himself.
Oh, man. Man, this guy.
Oh, wait a minute now. A commentary for the Chicago Sun-Times recently said that Obama is not just an ordinary human being, but indeed an advanced soul. Oh, and my personal favorite, Halle Berry, I'll do whatever he says to do. I'll collect paper cups off the ground to make his pathway clear. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is he just a man? Or is he being worshipped as a god? Is he a false prophet, as American Citizen is asking? Is he a false prophet, or is he the Antichrist? Or is he just a tool, just a puppet in some bigger scheme that really doesn't involve the end times?
Who knows, man? That's why I was asking at the beginning of the show. He could be a little minion for all we know. Only God knows. But greater is he that is in you, doctor, than he that is in the world. That's the end of the question. I'm not afraid of the guy. You know, if I die, I go meet the Lord. I'm not worried about these guys. Not worried about the Civil War. Not worried about none of that type of stuff. Because, see, it's either in heaven, it's either you're going to be right or you're going to be wrong. And that is it. You know, so if they want to worship this guy, you know, they'll have what they say. They believe he's God and he's going to change the whole world and get the Muslims and fix the Jerusalem problem and all this and world peace and... I mean, if they really believe that, then that's fine. And it can happen. There could be world prosperity. But the Bible says it's going to end in bloodshed.
Well, but here's the thing. Barack Obama has today, I think he really put the wheels in motion today by throwing Israel under the bus the way that he did.
Yep.
He opened the door for the Palestinians, Egyptians, most of the Arab world to demand that Israel give up the settlements that they won in battle in 67 or else. And we used to think, the doctrine used to be that the only thing keeping the wolves at bay against Israel was their allegiance to the United States of America, the close ties to the United States of America. Barack Obama has all but obliterated that perception today. We have another caller, 215. You're on with the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there's a pastor that comes over the internet named Pastor Manning. And one thing that he says is that Obama has unusual powers over people. And I personally have voted for a long period of time. I've never seen a politician to be as admired as he was in that first election. And one thing is that people in the media and people who are in politics don't understand the powers of the occult and how someone can be on a spiritual plane, can have, like, unusual powers. And I'm a person that goes to church, and I do believe that this world does have a spiritual dimension to it. And I think that Obama may have been able to extend some aspects of that spiritual dimension, like in order for him to have all of this appeal that he has.
Citizen, haven't we seen this before? This story has already played out. You just can't wear this subject matter out. We saw this go on during World War II, just before World War II, with Adolf Hitler, where there was this adulation, this messianic adulation, as if Hitler was this God.
Yeah.
And you know an even more eerie similarity here is that Barack Obama uses a teleprompter for almost everything to get his message out. It's not hard to be an eloquent, mesmerizing speaker if you're reading words from a teleprompter. All you really have to do is know how to read and practice your delivery. I mean, any actor will tell you that. But the similarity here is that when Adolf Hitler first started his public speaking tour, he was horrible at it. And he wasn't able to really persuade a lot of people, which resulted in him spending a little time in the pokey after his first failed attempt at seizing power. And then he was released from prison, and he connected with a public speaking coach, for lack of the appropriate word I'm looking for. And this coach explained to him the proper way to deliver your message in front of a large audience. And he was told to first speak slowly and quietly, and then very gradually raise the level of your tone. And in so doing, you could work the crowd up into a frenzy. And at that point, it doesn't matter what you say. And that was the advice that he was given. And it worked to perfection. And so what we're seeing here right now, Citizen, is an exact replica of what went on during World War II with Adolf Hitler. Barack Obama is just a man. We know that. But there are people out there who believe that he is so much more than that, and it doesn't matter what he says. They'll follow him.
Well, there were also Nazi people that were practitioners of the occult. And if you go into the deep south, like around New Orleans, they have a lot of voodoo shops. And if you've ever known someone that lived in the deep south, voodoo is actually like a type of is like actually something that people practice down there. And people do believe that you can sell your soul to the devil for fame and fortune. And it's been entertainers, like blues entertainers from the South, like John Lee Hooker. He was a blues entertainer. He was, like, I believe he was from Alabama or like someplace like that. But it was believed that he practiced voodoo and that he sold his soul to the devil in order for him to get the fame that he got. So the people in the Deep South know about the occult because the occult has always been down there because voodoo was a religion that came from West Africa. And when it came into New Orleans, they combined it. They combined the occult or the witchcraft practices with the voodoo. And over time, it became like an underground thing that people did. And a lot of the entertainers that came from the Deep South, it was believed that if they got fame very quickly, it was believed that they were practicing some type of voodoo and that they had sold their soul to the devil.
Well, Citizen, what do you think? What do you think is behind Barack Obama's speech today? Just one day before Netanyahu is to come into Washington, D.C. and speak to Congress, Barack Obama arranges a hastily prepared a speech and televised event and announces what he has announced today. What do you think is really behind Barack Obama's announcement today or his proposal?
Well, I think that he has made an alliance with Saudi Arabia and with the Arabs, and he intends to set up the state of Palestine. Now, if Palestine is not reformed completely and Hamas is able to take over, it'll become a terroristic state. And these other Arab states are in a state of crisis. They could easily turn into Islamic states. If that occurs, Israel would be in a whole lot of trouble. And basically, I read the CNN article tonight about his speech, and he basically said that Israel will have to be able to defend itself. So therefore, if Israel's back is pushed up against the wall, and Iran and all of these other Arab states come into the mix, it's going to lead to a nuclear conflict. Israel is going to take the nuclear weapons offshore, and they're going to fire them on Iran, and that is going to be World War III. So what he's doing is he is setting the stage for a nuclear conflict in the Middle East.
Do you believe that if that is the case, that this current administration will come to the defense of Israel, or will simply say something along the lines, well, we warned Israel, we offered them a solution to this problem, and they chose not to take it, so they're on their own?
Right. I'm saying he's going to set up the Palestinian state with the UN. Now, if the Palestinians are not reformed as a people, if they let these terroristic elements take over the government and they terrorize Israel, he basically said in the CNN article that Israel has to be able to defend itself. So therefore, if Israel is faced with terrorist Palestine, the Egyptians come at them, the Syrians come at them, the people from Jordan and the people from Iran, they're surrounded. Therefore, they're going to take their nuclear weapons and they're going to light up the Middle East. And that's what I'm saying. It's going to lead to World War III. It's going to lead to a nuclear conflict. Because he is not going to let the U.S. engage in any type of defense of Israel.
Well, if there's World War III, then that would indicate that there would be that statement by definition suggests that there will be more countries involved than just the Middle East, Middle East.
Right, but I'm saying, but if Israel takes the first strike, if they fire a nuclear weapon at Iran because they feel they're being pushed to the brink, and Iran has like a nuclear bomb to go off inside its country, then it will fire back on Israel. Then other nations that are in alliance with Iran, say if it's Russia or China or whatever, gets involved in it, then it's going to lead to a full-scale kind of war to break out. Because usually these type of skirmishes start between two nations. Then other nations get involved that have an alliance with the two nations that are currently at war. But I'm saying that the odds will be so against Israel that Israel will make a desperation move like you saw with the crisis that this country had between Russia, when Russia placed like different types of missiles inside Cuba. It'll be a crisis like that where Israel will be pushed to the brink and they will have to fire their weapons.
Steve, what are your thoughts? You want to jump in here?
Oh, okay. Well, that could play out that way. I do know that in the book Revelation, it really talks about that there'll be dead bodies. There'll be so many dead bodies. It'll be as the sand of the sea. It'll be as sand. There'll be so many dead people everywhere. About what was it? 1/3 of the earth destroyed. Earth people wiped out. So China boasts a population that could be in that war, where, you know, 1/3 of the population of Earth destroyed. China could be involved in some kind of conflict like that. I wonder, is this policy, how much does the president have an effect over this foreign policy? Is it immediate, or does he have to go through Congress for this foreign policy?
Well, at this point, and you can correct me, please, AC, if I stray here, Barack Obama is simply an arbitrator. He's suggesting that what he'd like to see happen is that that Israel give up and go back to pre-67 and give up the lands that they that they won as a result of the conflict there. He can't force them to do that. And of course, Israel and Netanyahu know that he can't force them to do that. But what Barack Obama can do is sign a series of executive orders and perhaps curtail funding, because we support Israel in many ways and militarily. So he can do things like that to help to make Israel a lot more vulnerable than they are if they were to follow his suggestions. Is that what? Anything to add to that, AC?
Well, I think that currently what has happened, if you follow the Palestinian-Israeli thing, is that this has been building for a long period of time, and the PLO has been able to make diplomatic relations with a lot of the European countries. And the UN already has a resolution that they want to go forward with for the formation of a Palestinian state. They already have corporations that have pledged money to develop the infrastructure of a Palestinian state. Like, they have, the RAND Corporation has pledged like $8 billion to the formation of the infrastructure of a Palestinian state. So they have taken the necessary steps for this state to be formed. So the problem is that this Hamas is a terrorist group, and they still have influence inside Palestine. And the Palestinians are divided between the PLO and Hamas. Now, the problem is, if they get a Palestinian state and Hamas has a vote in the Palestinian government, will they have a controlling influence in the government? Because the Palestinians have vowed to destroy the Jews. That's something that they teach their children in school, that it's an honor for them to put on a suicide vest and kill Jews. So this is something that is ingrained in them from the time that they're very small. So the question is, if the Palestinian state forms, will this type of philosophy take root, and will these people become terrorists? And if that happens, then Israel is going to be faced with a terrorist Palestine, and they're going to be faced with these other countries that are turning Islamic, and they're going to, and the Egyptians already have a hatred of the Jews. And when Mubarak left, all of those peace type of treaties that were between Egypt and Israel were completely dissolved. So therefore, there are no peace treaties between Egypt and Israel anymore. That's the reason why Mubarak was there for so long, because he was the only one that was holding the peace. And that's the reason why he wanted his son to take his place, because he felt that his son would follow what he wanted. So I'm saying that this has been a fragile situation for a long time, and now it's starting to come apart. And I'm saying that it may come to the point like we saw with the Cuban crisis, where Russia had placed its nuclear missiles inside Cuba, and we had a crisis in the sense that we came very close to a nuclear war. And I'm saying that this thing may play out the same way between Israel and these other Arab nations, but I think that because Israel is so overpowered and is such a small nation, it will lead to a nuclear conflict.
Alan West, Republican from Florida, says suggested Obama's stance could represent the beginning of the end as we know it for the Jewish state. Romney responded by saying that President Obama has betrayed Israel and made a grievous mistake by suggesting borders of Israel go back to pre-1967 borders. He went on to say that this is an outrage to peace, the sovereignty of Israel, and a stable Middle East. It's understood that Barack Obama cannot force Israel to go back to pre-67 border map, but what I believe his take does, his suggestion does, his demand does do is it puts pressure on Israel now, and it gives license to those states that surround Israel to move against Israel almost at the behest of the United States of America.
It is as if
Barack Obama has given his tacit blessing for Israel to be attacked and utterly destroyed. And I'll put it out there, light the fire for World War III, a nuclear holocaust. This is why folks are saying that this guy is dangerous.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I have another thought, too. And that's probably the biggest thing that were interfering with world government. The biggest interference was that conflict, because you can't have a world government with those types of people going at each other. So I think what it was they couldn't really get the world government until they resolve a lot of these conflicts around the world. Then they're going to pull the trigger on that world government card and crash the whole world economy, new currency, and total tyranny. You follow me?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. This is a very dangerous game. And I can't help but... Boy, yeah. It's a very dangerous game. But I can't help but come to the conclusion that it's all supposed to play out just this way. And I'm a big believer in biblical prophecy. I have been studying biblical prophecy since I was a child. I mean, indeed, John and Revelations were the books I read. And then, of course, Genesis. But those are the only three. And I stuck to them like glue. And I asked a lot of questions of my parents, of pastors when I attended church as a young child. I asked a lot of questions. And as I grew up, I studied Revelations more and more and more and more and got more in-depth with it as I understood more as an adult. And it seems to me like what Barack Obama did today is playing out in the hands of biblical prophecy. So it's not something that he's telegraphed this move all along. And Netanyahu disappointed me greatly during that right after that last meeting where Barack Obama left him sitting while he went in by himself while he went and had dinner. I would have expected Netanyahu to come out and let Barack Obama and the United States know that he didn't appreciate being treated that way. However, you know, Barack Obama, but in another way, Netanyahu really couldn't do that because basically the United States of America holds the purse strings, the military hardware, weaponry expertise. The United States is the protector of Israel, and to come out and say something against the president of the United States could be detrimental to Israel's health. But here's the other thing. Barack Obama has to know that he has angered
or at least severely disappointed, a lot of folks that voted for him, who believe in Israel, who stand by Israel, especially a lot of Jewish people who promoted his campaign and helped to fund his campaign. Does he believe that he simply doesn't need them anymore?
Well, I think it's offshore. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say that many of the Jews in this country are not the religious Jews. They're more like the secular Jews.
Yep.
So you may even have some of them that support the Palestinians because of the fact that they really don't identify with the religious Jews or like the Hasidic Jews. They don't identify with them. So, I mean, the Jewish people are very divided now. And that's how Obama was able to get the Jewish vote.
But Obama did get the Jewish vote because he stated on numerous occasions, if my memory serves, that he supported Israel in every way possible, that Israel, the United States had no greater friend than Israel. Now it seems as though he really didn't mean that. Do you actually believe, AC, that Jewish people, I mean, I'm sure you'll have some of the younger Jewish folks who are not so rooted in Israel as older folks might be. They'll probably, you know, they'll go along with the program, but they're not the ones who really control the Jewish purse strings, are they?
No, I'm saying a lot of the Jewish people are more of the Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David type today. They are not the religious type people that they were in the past. And a lot of them don't even believe in the aspects like of their religion. Like they don't practice it that much. But they may have power and influence in terms of they control certain institutions, but they are not of the religious type. So therefore, they voted for Obama thinking that he was going to change the country, and they have more of like a liberal mindset. So, you know, I don't think Obama was for Israel at all. I think he was more working in the interest of the Muslims and the Middle East from the very beginning. But these secular Jews are so disconnected from their religion that they couldn't see it.
Well, Netanyahu is scheduled to meet with Obama tomorrow morning at the White House, and he'll stay in Washington over the weekend before addressing IPAC conference on Monday, and then a joint meeting of Congress on Tuesday. So we'll see how this all plays out. It's really going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and another thing, too, we need to research what the Pope has to say, because I really believe that this world is being ruled by Roman Catholic power. See, the Catholics, they're known by many names. I mean, they operate in financial sectors, banking. They operate in a lot of different areas. But we really need to see what the Pope has to say and what the – I'm really curious about what this. You follow me?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, so let's go ahead and recap what occurred today. Hey, Victoria Daniel. All right, good to see you. Thank you for stopping in. In a bombshell speech just concluded today, Obama abandoned Israel, and he did so in three major ways. He called for Israel to give up and retreat from the entire West Bank, all of it, and his excuse, or reason if you prefer, was that some Palestinians live there. Those are his exact words. Obama conveniently chose to forget the tens of thousands of Jews who live there, and that they would face immediate slaughter by Hamas if abandoned by Israel. So remember, if Israel retreats to the 1967 borders, as now called for by Obama, the country becomes just 7 miles wide at some places. And that means that Arab tank-killing man portable weapons, which with ranges of more than 25 kilometers, it can cut the country in half right there. And that makes Israel militarily indefensible. Barack Obama would have to know this. I can't imagine, you know, under any scenario, we know he's inexperienced. We know the guy, you know, isn't as bright as everybody's saying he is, but he'd have to know that. So what's the end game here? Is it true that Barack Obama wants to decapitate Israel, that he is sowing the seeds for Israel's destruction? AC.
Well, you know, this formation of a Palestinian state has been on, you know, the drawing board since, like, the time of President Jimmy Carter, when he tried to form the some type of peace accord between Egypt and Israel. So they have been talking about this for, like, over 30 years. Now they're at the point where Obama is going to bring it to light. But Obama knows that the way this Arab revolt has played out, that if these states become like an Islamist state, that they will be hostile to Israel. And when Mubarak left, Mubarak was the only bridge between Egypt and Israel. That's why Mubarak wanted his son to follow him, because he wanted that bridge to stay in place. But now that bridge is gone, and now Mubarak is, like, up for execution, like they plan to execute him. So, you know, so all of the pieces are falling into place. Now, the only thing is, will the Palestinians be true to their word and be a peaceful people? And will Hamas be able to gain control of the government? That if Hamas can gain control of the government, they will not be a peaceful people. You will see another type of intifada occur, and this time, because they have their own government and they have their own military, it's going to be a full-scale war.
Then, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go on.
And then these other Arab countries may come and get involved in it. Now, Israel is a small country. I don't know how large their army is, but I don't think that they can hold off the Egyptian army, the Syrian army, the Jordan army, and the Palestinians all at the same time. So their only other option, and then if Iran gets involved in it too, they can't hold off all those armies at the same time. And I think Obama would take the position that the U.S. is already stretched too thin in North Africa and in Afghanistan. We cannot assist Israel. Israel has to be able to defend itself. So therefore, it's going to get into like a cat and mouse game, where we saw between Kennedy and Russia, when Russia had placed his missiles inside Cuba, we came very close to a nuclear war then. This time, I think that it will go all the way.
Israel has another ally, Great Britain. We have left them out of the equation.
But also, you know, Great Britain has a large Islamic population. And I think that if this situation played out, you would see a massive Islamic revolt inside London. And it may go to the point where it may almost paralyze the entire country, because London has a large numbers of, like, people who are Muslims. They have many mosques in London. In fact, the Muslims have stated they want to institute Sharia law in Great Britain first, because they have more people inside their country than any other. So I think that if you saw a conflict in the Middle East, the Muslims in Great Britain would try to revolt so hard that they would try to bring the government down.
Obama called today for contiguous borders between Gaza, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. And what that means is cut Israel in half, again, to give the Palestinians one large and connected chunk of Israel. In addition to that, as you stated earlier in the conversation, Barack Obama said Israel must be capable of defending itself alone without outside help. No American president in the history of Israel has ever said such a thing. Does this mean, are we seeing, really, seriously now, let me ask both of you, most of my callers, both Steve and AC, are we seeing the beginning of the end of Israel? And in fact, as AC points out, possibly World War III, a nuclear war?
Yeah, it's possible. I still have to go into biblical prophecy because I don't know if Israel is going to be there towards the end of the world. An integration process, but we gotta also remember Israel has a very large air force, one of the best in the world, and that's another thing as well. You know, they have bombs now that can destroy a whole city, and it's non-nuclear, so it's not as easy as we think it is. You know,
no, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be easy. And you brought up a great point. Bible prophecy states that Israel will survive. That Israel will be here, but not without significant cost to the rest of the world, and Israel included. So, Bible prophecy tells us that it'll all start with an attack on Israel, and what Barack Obama did today was he simply very easily stepped into Bible prophecy, Bible history, into this whole idea of the thought that we are living in the last days and time. He did so by taking the side of Palestine to the extent that no other president has ever done before. I can't ever
right.
be extremely concerned about.
And you know, another thing that makes me upset too is that this whole 2012 conspiracy, I think the global elite is really going to pull something off next year just to prove that to be true.
AC, any comment?
Yeah, well, I think it will lead to a standoff, almost like a Cuban type of missile crisis that Israel will face. I think it will lead to a nuclear standoff, because I think you will see many Arab nations coalesce and try to fight Israel. And Israel is a very small country, about the size of like a New Jersey. And even if they have a very good air force, I don't think they can take five or six armies at one time. And I think that's what would happen. And that's why I'm saying that I could see it, like almost coming to like a nuclear standoff.
Well, that's true. However, Iran may be further along in their nuclear capability than we first thought. It's been hinted at for the last year that they're moving along a lot far more. They're far more advanced in their nuclear endeavors than we may be aware of as a nation. I'm sure the government has more information than they're giving us right now. But let me ask this before we end the show. In addition to this bombshell that Obama delivered today, he also delivered a second blow. And it was designed just to hurt taxpayers just a little more, and ensure that the Muslim Brotherhood radicals now running Egypt have more money to buy more weapons. Obama announced that the U.S. will borrow another $1 billion because we don't have it, so that we can forgive the Egyptian debt. Is there any doubt whatsoever whose side Obama is on? I don't mean Israel versus the Muslims. I mean whose side Obama is on in the final fight of the radical Muslims versus the United States of America. It seems to me that we have a traitor who is operating from within, who is sowing the seeds of not only Israel's destruction, but the destruction of the United States of America as we know it.
Definitely, definitely. Yes, we have an entire elite class of people that are traitors and been traitors for a very, very long time, from the healthcare system to the student loan bubble, that's the next bubble, student loans, to our foreign policy. America has been betraying its own people for the last 40, 50 years. There have been major betrayals, and one day we'll go into all that. But, yes, Egypt don't need to have their debts forgiven. Obama is just, you know, you'd be surprised who the real terrorists are. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I want to thank everybody for being here. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for stopping in. Victoria, David, Bob, USMC, who has said very little. Tesla, all of you. Steve, AC, thank you for being here. I really do appreciate it. You've made the show tonight, and thank you so much. I want everybody to have a great night, and we will talk again tomorrow and follow up on what has transpired today, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more talk about this coming out tomorrow. Have a great night, folks. Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. Have a good night.
God bless.
All right, you too.
It's not based on division, not based on hatred, not based on fear, but it's based on hope. We can't send $100 billion overseas every year and expect to solve the problems here at home. Don't believe that we can't do something about the challenges that we face.
Our nation is in trouble and desperate need of a change. We need a new vision, someone to take a stand. There are many choices. There is one that has a plan.
Hallelujah.
Barack Obama. He's a man.
He's our man. He's come to destroy America. Destroy Israel. Destroy the world. Holocaust, here we come. It's going to be a bright day, all right, when those bombs start falling. It's going to be a better day. Bible prophecy being revealed. Bible prophecy coming. It's going to be a bright day when the nuclear weapons start to fall. The world is destroyed. Change is on the way. Bible prophecy being revealed today. It's about your conviction. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Barack Obama. The deceiver. Barack Obama. The Antichrist, maybe. Barack Obama. The destroyer of worlds. Barack Obama. Democrats. Republicans. We're all standing together to watch Barack Obama stab Israel in the back. Change is on the way, folks. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.